Recently, I was doing an inventory of the lives of those who have been the greatest pictures to me of discipline and devotion, of dedication and direction about life. And I began to ponder and look back on different experiences that shaped my very early upbringing. I had a grandmother who lived during the Great Depression. And during the Great Depression, one of the things that her and her husband would do, my grandfather, is they would always meet the need of anybody who walked down the long, dusty road to their home. If they were hungry, they would feed them. If they needed encouragement, they would pick them up and let them know that they were worthy and valuable. And as she would tell me those stories, she also recounted the time they would get up in the morning, the time they would go to bed at night, and how every hour was directed but towards what they disciplined themselves to do and not what they were devoted to accomplish. And when you think about that, that in essence is the story of anyone who has an amazing story to tell later on, that they were disciplined and devoted to something that was worthy of their focus, worthy of their cause. And when you think about that, you realize that the Bible is full of unique and amazing characters who have in their DNA a desire, because of their encounter with God, to live disciplined and devoted lives where perhaps their story is not chapters in the Bible, but the essence of what they live for is so meaningful and so powerful that when you read their story, you go, that's an amazing person. That's an amazing lady. And that's what today we look at as we look inside of God's Word. We find ourselves looking at what it means to be disciplined and devoted, and we're in Acts chapter 9. And if you turn there, you realize something. In the 9th to the 12th chapters, we find in this particular text that Paul and Peter are obviously leaders of the church. They're coming on the scene. And at this particular juncture, Peter still has a very significant responsibility. And he has responsibility to impact those that he's encountering. And he has responsibility to lead as a leader. Now, obviously, we know that Peter had, at one juncture in his life, had struggled to find the discipline to know how to follow the Lord the way he intended. And that's why he denied the Lord at one moment. And then that's why at another juncture he struggled at being able to acknowledge why Jesus would ask him 3 times, do you love me? But the reality was Jesus was hammering home a distinctive quality that's absolutely essential for Peter to be effective. And that was that he would end up being a man who was disciplined and devoted to accomplish his purpose. If you lack discipline, you lack direction. And if you lack devotion, you lack love. And so what happens is when someone lives their life without direction, without love, they struggle at being able to encounter what it means to be disciplined and devoted to God's purpose. So we find ourselves at times only knowing a little small portion of someone's story. But we have to believe that when the good news arrived at Tabitha's home, it changed the way she looked at life. And God began to use her. And so we find ourselves in the 9th chapter, and beginning in the 36th verse, we find the story of a girl who a lady who has lived very effectively, accomplishing her purpose, not for the accolades of men, but for the purpose of God. And as a result, she ends up being acknowledged as a disciple, someone who has followed Christ in an amazing way, fully devoted to accomplishing what God intended. And then she dies. And those who are with her, the widows, those who are weeping, they all immediately take action. They call Peter to the scene. And Peter comes from Joppa. He comes 10 miles in order to encounter them at the point of her need. And so today we find ourselves in this amazing story of one lady who, in the span of just a few verses, gives us an amazing model of how we can live our lives, how we can accomplish his purpose for our lives. And my encouragement to you today as you think about your own journey is I encourage you on this Mother's Day and this day in which we look and acknowledge those who have brought life into our own story, that you realize that here is a lady that the essence of her story is tied into the fact that she is disciplined and devoted to God's purpose. And it is my prayer that as we acknowledge and look at this text, that we'll all come away going, you know what? That's who I want to be. I want to be a woman who is disciplined for the purpose God's given me and devoted to it, who has direction, who has love in her heart, so that you can do it in an amazing way. And so today as we dig into this story, we find ourselves reading just a few verses, but amazing verses. And you can't miss this story as it unfolds because you'll see characteristics, not just of Tabitha, but those she hung out with. And what I want you to see today is you never rise above who you hang with. And what you're going to discover is because she was hanging out with the right people, they did not accept her death as the final answer. And what I want you to see is when you hang with the right people, even if you face a great challenge, they will not accept that. They'll move beyond it and trust God to carry you to the next level, to the next place. So we begin reading in Acts chapter 9 and verse 36. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translates in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it happened at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, "Do not delay in coming to us." So Peter arose and went with them. And when he arrived, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. But Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. And calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. It became known all over Joppa. And notice this phrase, "And many believed in the Lord." And Peter stayed many days in Joppa with a tanner named Simon. When you read this, you immediately realize something. Here's this amazing story of a lady who lived her life to accomplish her purpose. It was not that the accolades of men would be stacked up on her wall and she would have all these certificates, but it was a story of a lady who realized something. If someone needed a coat, she could sew it. If someone needed a blanket, she could bring it together and they could be warm and they could be nurtured by the love that she would express. The only problem is, as she's doing her work, she gets sick. And when she gets sick, she dies. And then her friends, they only have two options, bury her or call Peter. And aren't you glad they call Peter? I mean, they could have put her in the ground and said, "It's over." But instead, they call Peter, and Peter shows up. And by the way, Peter was privileged to watch the one who'd ordered his steps when he encountered different people in need, be it Lazarus, whoever. Peter saw that, and he also realized he had a responsibility. And today I want you to think about your own journey and your own journey of faith, because when you start beginning to analyze where you are in life, you begin to ask yourself, am I disciplined enough to accomplish what Tabitha did? Because it's interesting, because the Bible says she was abounding and she continually did something. I want to ask you, how often do you stop before you finish a task? How often do you have an opportunity that comes before you, and the opportunity always, you know you can get there, but all of a sudden you stop because something gets in your way? Let me give you an example. You could be here today and you could have been on a spiritual journey, and somebody said something or did something that caused you to stop your journey. And what you discover is that this story is a great example of how important it is that we never allow anything to impede us from experiencing what God intended, because God has an amazing story that he wants to write about each one of our journeys and each one of our lives. And so as you look at this particular text, one of the things you realize very quickly is that here is an example of someone who lived to glorify God. And so I want to ask you a question. When you think about your own journey, can you name someone who lived to glorify God with their life? Can you name someone, when you think about it, man, they lived for a purpose that far exceeded anything we could imagine? I'll never forget when my mother-in-law was stricken with cancer. She, in the midst of all of that, she still lived to glorify God. And at the end of her journey, I'll never forget her whispering in my ear, "I have hurt every day, but I have made a choice not to tell anyone." And you know what she was really saying? I could sit around and complain about how I feel every day, or I can keep living and influencing my children and my grandchildren. And when I look at my daughter and the way she nurtures her little girl, it causes me to realize that because Nanny didn't spend her life complaining, that girl learned that you don't have to spend your life griping about everything. Instead, you thank God, even in the midst of your difficulty, that he is with you. That little grandbaby was in church earlier when we were dedicating the babies, and she kept telling her, "Mom, see Gaga. And what that meant was, let me down. I want to come see him because he's up there and I know he's there. But she couldn't get to me and she wanted to come. And I got to thinking about how often my children went and ministered to their grandmother. When her hair was gone and her life was trembling and her body was eaten up by cancer. They never looked at her cancer. They never looked at her lack of hair. They looked at her heart and they saw somebody who was disciplined and devoted to live her entire journey out to honor the Lord. And so when you think about those models we have, we all have them. They're there. But you ask yourself the question, how do you get there? How did Tabitha's story become so significant that in the midst of the Ethiopian eunuch being saved, in the midst of Saul on a Damascus road, and in the midst of Aeneas being raised up, who's crippled to walk, how did her story get interjected in here? And it all has to do with what it was she was in love with, and she was in love with Jesus, and God used her. And so when I think about that, I begin to ponder for each one of us. The question you ask is simply this: how directly linked are you to Jesus? Because if you're directly linked to him, it means you're going to be able to experience what he intended. And today, as we look at this story, I want you to think about the link and the disconnect. Because, watch this carefully, it is easy for us to allow somebody who maybe made a confession but have never lived it out in a way that brought honor to him, to allow that to become our definition of how we live our life. And as a result, because we're disappointed by somebody else's choice, by somebody else's journey, we disconnect ourselves and we make this commitment. Well, I want to be a part of that, but, and all of a sudden it becomes a buffer zone between you and experiencing what God intended. And for Tabitha, we know nothing about her upbringing. What we do know is she lived her life as a transformed disciple. And how do we know that? Because we find in this text that she is referred to as a disciple in a feminine term by way of the original language. And here's what we realize. How many women were disciples that were noted in the New Testament? You know how many? One. And you're reading about her today. This one lady distinctively stood out as someone so connected to Jesus' purpose that she would be referred to and referenced as a disciple in a place in which the gospel had spread in all likelihood by Philip going and preaching. And here she is. And it's interesting because it's not like she's doing this dramatic work. All she's doing is using her hands to sow and all, and using her hands to be able to create and identify what it is that God intended for her. But when you see this, you immediately realize something, that here is a woman whose life was extended beyond the norm because she had a purpose that exceeded just living and existing. Here's a woman who God allows her to come out of death back into life in order to experience and to live out the purpose that God had for her. That life was extended. There was extra days. We have no idea what her story reads like post Acts chapter 9. But here's what we do know. There's no way God would bring her back to life had she not had a greater purpose, a more significant purpose. I have a friend who has lived his life serving the Lord, and 3 weeks ago he was diagnosed with a 99% assurance that he had kidney cancer. And so you could read his notes and you could read what he was going through and everything else, but when they took the tumor off his kidney, it was benign. And as I was reading that, you know, my very first thought was what I saw in Tabitha's life, that God chose to extend his journey to allow him to serve more effectively. And for you and I, what transformation is about becoming who God intends for us to be, that we can never do it on our own. And so what does he do? He extends to us the opportunity to continue our life and to make a difference with that. But you know what's interesting too, is not only did she have her life extended, but she expressed her love by meeting needs. In other words, she knew the best way to make a difference in someone's life is to meet their need and help them. And as a result, she would continually find out what the need was and she'd meet it. And here's what I want you to think about. You may not be an evangelist that goes out and preaches to thousands of people, but you could be someone who meets somebody at the point of their need and points them to an answer to their biggest question in life. Is there hope? Is there meaning? Is there purpose in life? And all of a sudden, you start pointing them to that need. And I bet everyone in this room probably has somebody at some juncture who met their need. Not because they had to, but because they wanted to. And they've realized, you know, I can help that person. I can do something for them. And what Tabitha did was she realized that some people would be cold and they needed to be blessed. Some people needed clothes to wear, and she would sew them, and she would assemble these different garments. In fact, the Bible, if you read the text there carefully, in fact, look at it if you would, because notice what they do in verse 39. So Peter arose and went with them, and when he arrived, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with him. Now, I want you to get this picture a second. Right here is dead Tabitha, okay? And Tabitha's dead. Peter comes in, and all the widows are standing there. Other people stand there and say, you ain't going to believe the kind of stuff this lady could do. Now, you can imagine Peter's thinking, now, I thought I was called here. Somebody needs to be alive again. But they're showing off the goods of her hands. And you know why? She must have been so gifted, that she would use her hand to meet needs. And listen carefully. God's work is never tainted by human hands. In other words, when we use our hands to help someone, we use our hands to bless someone, we use our hands to carry something forward. This week I had a light fixture that came loose out of the ceiling. Well, it actually came loose a month ago, but I actually committed myself to fixing it this week. And I have a friend who uses his hands. And so I loaded that friend up in the car and said, hey, come over. I got a light fixture hanging out. Now, you know, there was a couple things I was thinking about. Electricity and being dead. Because I realized if I hit that wire, I could be dead. So I thought, why not let him do it for me? And so I brought him into the house, and I said, now look, I mean, I don't know why this thing fell out of the ceiling, but I need you to help me. And literally, within 30 seconds, he said, you got a screwdriver? I said, sure. Zoop, whomp, and he's done. I'm thinking about death. And he has pushed, I mean, he takes those wires and just pushes them back up in there. I'm thinking, I'd never touch any of those wires. But you know what? When he was little, I got a feeling his daddy taught him, here's where you use your hands. And he became a great carpenter. And he became a great skilled person with his hands. And then God got a hold of his life and began to direct his heart to be everything he intended for him to be. And here's what I want you to see. Tabitha, only reason she used her hands is because God had got a hold of her heart. And I want you to realize that God will get a hold of your heart too. But sometimes you've got to put your hands to the plow. That's what Jesus said. No one's worthy of the kingdom if they put their hands to the plow and they start looking back. Why? Because they can't get where they're supposed to go. And my encouragement to you is to realize your hands can be used. One other thing about her that stands out is she expressed her love by meeting needs, but she also realized that her hands could make the difference. So she met a need by giving someone something to keep them warm, but then she'd take her hand. And it's amazing what you discover is because your hand, what do your hands do? Your hands have the capacity to touch and to encourage. And I get tickled at times when kids are leaving church. They'll be walking out of the building, and they'll be holding on to their mom or dad's hand. And I'll walk up to them, and I'll say, you want to hold my hand? And you know what most of them say? No, they don't want to hold my hand because they're embraced by security. And I look at them and say, would you like to go home with me? And what do they say? No. Why? Because in their house, they have been loved. In their house, those hands of those moms and dads have probably directed them, but also disciplined at times. But they don't run from that discipline, do they? They run towards it. So here's a lady who was transformed. And I want you to think about how transformational life was. She lived for a purpose beyond herself. But then she dies. And here is the imminent loss that I want you to see, because here is a lady who's checked out of life. She's no longer alive. And what I want you to see is how her friends responded. Because the reality is her friends could have said, guess what? It's over. We're done. Let's get this deal moving and we'll be done with it. But instead, they began to act in a way that you and I need to learn a lot about. Because here's what they did. Their faith beyond the facts began to direct their life. In other words, they didn't look at it from a perspective of this is it. She's gone. But instead, they had a faith. And they had enough wisdom, by the way, not to depend on themselves, but they called on Peter. And they called Peter and said, come on in here. We have a big need. And Peter made that 10-mile trek from Lydda to Joppa in order to meet that need, which meant he was sensitized to what God could do through him. Now, you do realize this, that Peter's coming to Tabitha was all a part of God's big plan to bring many people to the Lord. When you see that, and you look at this text, you'll notice there in verse 42, it became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Now, you got to realize, Tabitha's well known. She's the one who's dressed a lot of people who are in need. She dies. Everybody knows it. Can you imagine the next day after Peter brings her out of death, and she's walking down the street saying, hey, how y'all doing? Anyway, can you imagine all the people in that town are going, that her? And maybe some of them didn't hear it. Maybe they didn't get a chance. They didn't get an email from anybody informing them that it had transpired. And so they see her, and they go, wow, maybe no one tweeted on Twitter that she's still alive. And all of a sudden, they see her, and they realize their faith has been honored beyond the facts that are there. And here's what I want you not to miss. Your faith, listen, anybody outside of Jesus is dead in their sin. So your faith in believing that they come to know Christ is absolutely essential for you to believe that God could use you to make a difference in their life. And what these friends did was they very quickly acted by faith. The second thing they did was they took action instead of just analyzing things. You ever been around people who can analyze everything but get nothing done? We call those committees. That's why we don't have many here. They can analyze everything and say, okay, these are 9 reasons why we can't do it. And I tell you, early in my ministry, in the very first church I had the privilege of serving in, one of the things that I loved the most was they didn't have a bunch of committees that were trying to figure out how you can't do something. They instead had a powerful leader. They had a very committed staff. They had a very dedicated group of people, all of which didn't analyze things. They took action. In other words, they'd go and share their faith. They would equip people to understand what they could do with their life. And here's what I want you to see. I want you to grasp this. And ladies, please don't miss this. You don't need to spend as much time analyzing as you do acting. You need to instead take action on making a difference in someone's life. Because listen, for example, you may have more than one child, and if you analyze that child too much, you'll go nuts. Because every one of your children are different. And by the way, it's God's way of keeping you humble. Because as they are different, you got to figure out, what's he thinking? What's she thinking? Why they do? And all of a sudden you realize you just got to take action. It's love them unconditionally. Extend grace to them beyond what you could comprehend and pray for the favor of God to touch their life. Now you see another thing about that they did, these friends did, was they were tested because their friend was dead. But their testing beyond their trial led them to the right answer. And what I want you to see is don't let your trials define you. Let them be the fertile ground of testing out your faith. And I promise you, if I took all the trials that are represented in this room, for those who have children who are in the wrong direction, who have parents in the wrong direction, who have friends in the wrong direction, I'll tell you what you discover. We all have a lot of trials because there are a lot of people we'd like to see them move in a particular direction, but they're not. And what I want you to see is be wise enough to test the Lord, trust him, move on out beyond yourself and see what he can do with you. So here's a transformed disciple who dies in this imminent loss. It doesn't bring about defeat. It brings about hope because she lives again. And then you see, as this unfolds, this final aspect of it. So here's what I want you to see. Everyone here can be transformed. And every lady, you have the capacity to be something very special in the Lord. Every person here is going to suffer loss. You are going to have moments where things don't add up the way you want them to go. That things don't trigger out the way that you've lined them up and you keep hoping you can pull the trigger. The truth is, sometimes we go through difficulty and heartache. Sometimes we lose something. Maybe we lose our motivation. We have to regain it. Maybe we lose our direction and we have to find it again. Maybe we lose our hope and we have to reconnect to what is hope's all about. Because the truth is, listen carefully, there is a place in every heart that only God can fill. And if you choose to fill it with something else, you'll wake up one day with a hole bigger than you ever imagined. And so today I want you to think about what it'd be like if you had that hole completely filled up with the Lord being close to you and loving you and guiding you and directing your step. But you see that as it ultimately culminates, it's interesting what Peter does, because the Bible says that the story gets out and Peter does something, and you wouldn't probably notice if you were just reading this on the surface. But Peter goes to live at somebody's house, to hang out at somebody's house for many days, who was unclean by their terms. I mean, look at it, because Simon the Tanner dealt with dead animals. And Simon invites Peter into his home. And you got to realize this is a giant transition point for him. Because all of a sudden, he's hanging out with somebody that he wouldn't even enter the door of their home before. But he's watched God do something amazing, because he's watched Tabitha come up and live. And what I want you to see is what happens with Peter in the book of Acts and what happens with Tabitha is they have a reason to live. And what I want you to understand is that we all need to identify what is our reason to live. And what you discover is, if you look at the study we've been doing throughout God's word, is we all can live for his glory. In other words, we can all live to reflect what it is he's done in us. Because if we reflect his glory, people are going to say, you know what, that person, they walk with God. That person, they move at a different, sink in a different step. And what I want you to realize is, life goes by so fast that you don't want to miss your moment to reflect his glory. And what does it mean to reflect his glory? It means that the focus shifts from you to what it is he can do through you. And when he begins to work through you, people begin to say, you know what, man, I can see how God is at work in your life. And God is doing something amazing. And just recently I was visiting with somebody and I told my daughter and my wife, I said, you know what's really weird? Is sometimes you don't really know where you stand with somebody and you interact with them and you realize how much they love you and you probably miss moments that would really have been powerful. But because you didn't know, you know, you just didn't get a chance to go to that level of interaction. And for me, I've just been reminded over and over again that the relationships God gives us, every one of them that we choose to allow to reflect his glory, something powerful happened. But every one that we choose just to connect into where we're going to go, nothing of substance ever transpired. And so today, as you think about what it is you could do, the reason we live, I think about only two things, that we'd reflect his glory, and that, as the Bible says here, that many believed in the Lord, and that we would have the chance to lead others to him. You know, and that's why we gather together as a church. We gather together to say to somebody who's looking for an answer, we can help you find the most meaningful answer in the world. And you see, we don't water down who Jesus is because he is the most amazing transformational part of anybody's story. Because when Christ becomes our story, our life all of a sudden is illuminated because the light of the world comes inside of us and it begins to direct us. And so today I want to ask you just a simple, distinctive question when you think about your own journey. Because we started this time out by looking at what it means to be disciplined and devoted to Jesus. And I want to ask you, when you think about yourself, if people were to look at you, would they say, are you disciplined? Are you devoted to Christ? And if they see that, then they see something really amazing. I want to end with this story. It happened to me last night. I don't know if you ever have a late night, something that pops on your phone or your computer screen, but it captures your attention and you begin to think, wow, we don't realize how blessed we are. But on the screen were three pictures of three different orphans in Romania, a place that where 42 of us will go next month. And one of them was a young man, and he had tattooed onto his muscular arm these words: having a family is heaven in a very cold world. And what he was saying was how desperately he longed for somebody to know him and to love him and to care for him. The second picture was a 13-year-old girl who many years ago, when her family dropped her off in an orphanage as a little child, under three, they said to her, someday we'll come back and see you. For 10 years, she's waited, and never once have they come, anyone in her family, to say to her, we love you. The third picture was a little boy. 3 weeks ago, his mom died, but nobody told him. He has a sadness about him, but he doesn't know why he's sad. And they don't know how to say to a little kid, your mother, you'll never see her again. And as I was seeing all those pictures late in the evening, I was reminded of how important it is that we have family, because family can create heaven for us, but it's God's family. I was reminded of that young girl that many will hug when we go over there and won't even know that they're hugging a girl who longs to be loved. They'll look in the eyes of a little boy who may smile on the outside, but on the inside, his heart will be broken beyond what he could ever imagine, because what had nurtured him in his early, early life and then dropped him off in an orphanage was now gone. And my encouragement to you today, as you think about your own journey, you only get to live once. Could it not be a story of discipline and devotion where people would see Jesus in you? And you know, see, you may be sitting here saying, you know what, Jesus is so far in the peripheral for me. I don't know how I'd ever get him in the center. You know how you do it? Step towards him. And one step can change everything. Let's pray together. Father, we bless you for this wonderful day. A wonderful day in which we gather in your house on Mother's Day. We thank you, Lord, that we can look at your word and realize here's a story of a lady who kept living out her purpose. And even after she died and lived again, she kept living her purpose. And I pray, Lord, that you would allow us to see that we can be vessels who can use our hands, use our hearts, use our equipping to make a difference in the lives of those that we encounter. I pray, Lord, today that we would express ourselves to you in a very clear way that we want this to be a day that brings honor to you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.